Holding your hearts to
Amber.
Saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims draw Christians away.
Amber.
This coming soon.
Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound.
This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
You're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that has the hottest women anywhere on the planet. You're about to listen to day two of our podcast from our road trip taken July 2nd and 3rd to Americus and Hamlets Around.
Hello, this is Amber.
And Rusty.
It's July 4th, and we're back at home now. We're sitting on Rusty's balcony, and we've got the recap of day two for you here. So, where to start? I guess...
Yeah, we're both kind of worn out. We actually were going to record this the day of, but we were just exhausted. I managed to... I guess we should start that morning at the bed and breakfast to come full circle back to where we are.
Yeah. So that morning at the bed and breakfast, we went down for breakfast, which was a home-cooked meal, which was awesome.
Oatmeal, pancakes, omelet, tasty.
Yeah, good stuff. And... Susan, who is one of the owners, started talking to us about how she never really used the word ghost, but...
She used
warm presence. There is a warm presence that some have noted in the inn. And she was talking about how, like, ghost hunters would come in, and they all just detect a warm presence. And then she started talking about how sometimes... when she'd been using her digital recorder, she actually picked up voices, but she was even reluctant to call them voices, you know? She kept saying,
yeah.
I don't know what it is, I don't know what it means, but it's something that extra that was on the recording that we didn't hear at the time. Mm-hmm. And she actually let us hear some of the recordings, and they were freaky.
Yeah, there were a few that actually... There was one in particular that was pretty convincing. She was speaking with a guest who had sort of been evacuated from New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and this person who was from New Orleans was telling her how he or she was a volunteer firefighter and had done a bunch of other stuff, and there was something that sounded like a voice on the tape as the person was explaining their story that sounded like garbage or something like
that.
Yeah,
and it was just really loud and sudden and shouted, and every time...
And it distorted. It was near as if it was something right next to the microphone.
Yeah, every time there was something on the recording, it sounded like it was much closer to the microphone than the other people speaking. And the other times we heard that it sounded like that same voice saying, I like it.
Yeah, and, I heard that one, too.
We couldn't tell. That one, we couldn't...
It went like, I like it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That one, it wasn't clear if it was a male or female voice, because it was sort of distorted sounding and sort of...
I'm not sure that any of them were clearly
Well, the
male
one that was
voices.
Sort of that was sort of softer, I think, was more clearly a male voice. The one that sounded like it was saying good for nothing.
Yeah, that one might have been a little more distinct. There's also one, what was the last one? There was another one she mentioned, but it was something about their tents.
Oh, well, she didn't play us that one, but she said one of the first ones that she actually recorded, because she just started setting out a recorder just to see if she'd get anything. And she said that most of the time it's pretty unintelligible, but one of the first ones that she got was one that was mostly unintelligible, but then she heard the word shebang at the end, and... said that, you know, she only knew the word from the phrase, the whole shebang, but actually that's the term for the shelters that the prisoners at Andersonville Prison would build, and Andersonville Prison is really close to Americus, and the house that is the bed and breakfast now was built in 1847, so there could be a connection there, and so she said that was just kind of weird once she learned that that was the term.
Mm-hmm.
So after breakfast, we went back to the room, and we had about an hour before checkout, and so we just decided to leave our recorder on you know, while we were just in the room there and see if we picked anything up. And sadly, we didn't.
No. She was saying, she said that the voices are, I guess she has an EMF meter that she walks around with sometimes, is
yeah.
what she said.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't going off much that day.
Well, yeah, she said that ever since all those guests showed up, because there were like, there was a group of like, you know, 8 or 10 people staying
yeah.
there. And she said that ever since they had showed up, it hadn't been picking much up. They were a pretty rowdy crew. They're the ones who had the relative that was at Andersonville, and unfortunately we didn't get an interview with him. We didn't get an interview with anybody that we mentioned
well,
on the day
yeah,
one podcast.
Because Kim and Susan were a little gun shy around the recorder, and the people at the Georgia Rural Telephone Museum, which we'll talk about in a minute, well, that's a long story, but the long and short of it is that wasn't an opportune time for a recording.
Well, that's the next thing on the list,
yeah.
so we might as well just talk about
yeah.
it. You want to go?
And, unless you want to tell the thong story first.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this is the kind of thing that I wish that we had a recording of her telling it, but basically the short story is there was a couple staying at the inn, and they were sort of like religious, and the woman called I don't know what they call it, the innkeeper's suite or wherever Susan and Kim, you know, they live there, so their room or whatever. So they called and she was like, I opened my suitcase and a black lady's underwear appeared. And so you hear
how
that.
How do you know it's a black lady's
yeah,
underwear?
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
Exactly.
And so Susan goes to their room and opens the door, and the wife is there, and the husband is, like, sitting over on the couch watching TV, sort of just disconnected from the whole thing. And so Susan's thinking, well, whatever it is, it must be his fault because he looks all detached. And there's the wife looking really shaken, and she points dramatically to the floor and says, I opened my suitcase and those appeared. And it was a black thong on the floor. And she just couldn't explain where it came from. It hadn't been there before. It wasn't hers. She was offended, and, you know, she was just shaken, and she said, please, Susan, say that they're yours. And what was it that Susan said?
She was like, she said, usually I don't lose my underwear when I'm cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she made some other quip, like she looked at the, there's a painting of Scarlett O'Hara
yeah.
on the wall, and she said something like, Scarlett, I told you not to leave your things around. And she said something like, well, when you find the black lacy bra that goes along with it, call me. And she left the room really quick.
And she said she had trouble not bursting into laughter.
Yeah. But the story was much more compelling, too, when she told it.
Yeah.
So it's just a shame that we weren't secretly recording it.
Yeah. It's too bad she didn't want to be on the podcast, but whatevs.
So I guess now we can move on to the
Telephone Museum.
Telephone Museum is in Leslie, Georgia, which has a population of about 500. And, damn, I tell you, the gnats were bad there.
The gnats were bad everywhere, in Americus and in Leslie, I guess. Without
Unadilla?
Yeah, Unadilla. Yeah, the Unadilla gnats were especially vicious. But I know we had to hose ourselves down with off
yeah.
to keep them away. The Rural Telephone Museum, it's about what you'd expect. I mean, it's... Do you want to talk about it?
I mean, it was really cool. They had a lot of stuff there. It's apparently undisputed as the largest collection of telephones.
Antique telephones.
Antique telephones in the world. And it's huge. I mean, it doesn't look that big from the outside, but it is huge, and it's really cool. But the tour guide, I could see now why Susan was saying, she was telling us the day before, when he's done, he's done.
Yeah.
Because that's about how it was. The guy was about 90 years old.
Yeah.
And he was very knowledgeable. He apparently had been a switchboard operator and worked at the telephone company there.
The telephone museum was started by a fella who owned an independent phone company.
That's still there.
That still
across
exists
the street.
And still runs. I can't remember his name off the top of
my head. Tommy Smith.
Tommy Smith, good call. And constantly the tour guide would, he would say, well, Mr. Smith did this, Mr. Smith did that.
That's the train going by.
Yeah.
Clearly.
You probably knew that, though.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
You're welcome. But, oh, God. Anyway, what was really neat is you could go through history and see all of, I guess the most striking thing to me about all the telephones there was just how jimmy-rigged everything seemed. It all seemed so thrown together, and so not the museum, but the telephones themselves,
yeah.
and the structure of the lines. Everything just seemed not much more complicated than, you know, a couple of cans and a piece of string.
And a lot of stuff from that era does, but I mean, to me, but also, I mean, a lot of stuff from that era is what basically has formed our major infrastructure in this country. So it's kind of just mind-boggling to me that this stuff that seems so thrown together and just haphazard is basically powering the whole nation.
Well, and yeah, not only that, but in how successful it was in starting a, you know, telecommunications revolution, basically.
And how it really hasn't failed that much.
No, it hasn't.
You know, I mean, just things like...
That's something else we noticed that Susan was pointing out at the end, how the house that was built in 1847, there was nothing in their china cabinet that was square,
mm-hmm.
that was measured off correctly. And yet here it is, 150 plus years later, still standing just fine, whereas we can measure something perfectly and build it with stuff from Home Depot, and the crap, it's crap, it'll fall apart in 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's kind of mind-boggling to me.
They had one thing that I didn't know that we learned at the telephone museum was, you know those old telephones that have the little, like, round bell ringer things at the top, and then the earpiece that you pick up that's on the string, and then there's that bottom piece that has a thing on top of it that's slanted for you to write on. Well, I never knew that there was anything inside that little box down there. I guess I always just thought it was there, you know, just to prop your hand on to write.
It was decorative.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. It's actually a battery container, because all the phones had batteries in them, and I wish that he had explained in a little more detail exactly how that works, and I'm going to have to do some Googling, because basically a lot of them had different sized battery boxes, because the further you were away from the switching station, the more batteries you had to have in the phone.
I assume the batteries were used to amplify the signal somehow, but I'm not sure exactly how you get from batteries to amplified signal. What is it that sort of bridged that gap?
It was really weird. So anyway, yeah, the telephone museum was awesome, and I wish we had some sort of interview or something, but you know, it just wasn't happening
with
this guy.
The interviews weren't in the cards this
weekend.
No,
they weren't.
So you're going to have to deal with us.
Yeah. So, okay, then we left Leslie, headed out. We took some pictures at some tiny Georgia towns, which are online. We went to Cordele and had lunch at Crystal, because that's about all that was open.
Yeah.
Because it was a, you know, holiday
Cordele
weekend.
Had just, like, you know, one neat strip of buildings, it looked like, and then it was kind of surrounded by chains and stuff.
It is the watermelon capital of the world,
yeah.
Though. After that, we headed to, we got back on 75 to slowly make our way home, and then I spotted a water tower off the interstate, off in the distance, that I wanted to chase down, because I do like to photograph.
She has a thing for the water towers.
This water tower ended up being in a town, I mean, if you can even call it a town, called Unadilla, which basically was a ghost town. You want to talk about that?
Quite literally, it was a ghost town.
I mean, we didn't see any actual ghosts, so I guess...
I just used an inappropriate literally there. Sorry about that.
It was literally a ghost town.
He literally grew wings and flew over the court.
That's a David Cross reference. Yeah. Continue.
Unadilla, it was one of these old rail stop towns where you just had a string of 8 or 10 buildings that had general stores and restaurants and maybe a couple of other things. The buildings that we saw, most of them were pretty dilapidated. They didn't have ceilings in them.
They didn't have roofs.
Yeah, no roofs. They basically were just the brick walls. And Amber said she saw bulldozers nearby. The two I saw that had year markers on them, one was built, I think...
One was 1911.
Yeah, one was 1911, and one was, what, 1897?
Yeah.
But those buildings, if you went there next week, might not be there. And even though they were dilapidated and totally run down, you could see from the front of them that they, at some point, were beautiful buildings.
And not all of them were totally dilapidated. That one row of buildings facing the railroad tracks looked a lot more solid still than the ones on that perpendicular street.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I mean, they were all empty. There was nothing there. There was one building that looked like it might still have a functioning business, and it was a laundromat, but we couldn't tell. I mean,
I think there might have been a cafe there too, maybe.
Yeah, but we couldn't tell if that stuff was closed down or what.
It was a Sunday. Was it Monday?
Well, it was a Monday of a holiday weekend. But and it was just, I mean, really, there was nothing there. I mean, it's rare that you find a downtown of a small town that is just completely deserted. It reminded me of the movie Fried Green Tomatoes, where at the end she goes back and she's an old lady and she wants to go back to the town and it's just deserted. And anyway, it was sort of depressing,
well, like
but also
that.
Cool. So anyway, so we took some pictures there. Then on to Forsyth, where we bought a watermelon that Rusty subsequently dropped in the parking lot and broke.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's actually right there below us as we speak.
Yeah, it's too bad this isn't a vidcast because I could show it to you.
I told him he probably needs to clean it up, but, you know, that's just going to have to be his decision.
Well, I expect someone to run over it at some point, and at that point all the little bits and pieces will take care of themselves.
I guess, but I think it's going to attract bugs.
Well, I mean, not like the bugs are going to fly in here. They're going to fly down there.
I guess. As long as no more bugs come into my apartment, for God's sake.
Well, maybe they'll attract some of the bugs that would have gone into your apartment.
That's a good
point. Maybe we should put it on the ground outside of your apartment.
That's a good point. Anyway, you want to talk about the signs that you saw painted in the windows in Forsyth?
Yeah. There was this one store that had three windows on the side, and all of them were progressively more jingoistic and theocratic in favor of our current president. And
quote unquote.
yeah. I don't remember the exact messages.
Well, one of them said,
I should have printed them off, but
one of them said, "God bless President Bush."
Yeah.
Support our troops. Or no, God bless our troops.
Yeah, God
and
bless
then
our troops.
America, honor God.
Yeah. And one of them, I think, was... I think the first one was, we love President Bush, wasn't it?
It might have been. I thought it was God bless President Bush. I don't know.
One point I'd like to make, one thing that from sort of a sociological standpoint I'd like to see, or from a media criticism standpoint or whatever, is if a Democratic president is elected, I want to see how Fox News describes them. Because anytime you turn on Fox News now, they say, the president did this, the president did that.
Uh-huh.
I want to see if, let's say Joe Biden was elected. I think they probably wouldn't have much of a problem with Joe Biden. Let's say Hillary Clinton was elected. Would they say President Clinton? Would they say President Hillary Clinton?
I bet they'd just say Hillary.
I would be amazed if they'd go that far with it. I mean, that
they
sort
already
of,
say that, though.
Yeah.
Everywhere
I mean,
calls
they,
her Hillary.
Yeah.
Nowhere calls her Senator Clinton, which is
I'll
what
just
they
be
should
interested
call her.
To see, though. And I would actually be interested if I could find some to have some tape from, you know, pre-2000 when Bill Clinton was president to see what they called him.
When did Fox News start?
I think sometime in the late 90s.
If anyone knows, let us know.
Yeah.
How I miss the late 90s, the Clinton days, when all we had to worry about was Monica Lewinsky. But we're getting off track here, aren't we? Just
yeah,
a couple more things.
A little bit.
Couple more things on the list here. Cafe Erotica was,
I think we actually hit that before Forsyth, but whatevs.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
This was actually the place that, we mentioned in the day one recap that Rusty saw the, the sign, the billboard for, that was...
Yeah, we drove through the parking lot. The funniest thing about that place, we didn't actually go in because...
I was feeling kind of sick, and we were afraid there might be a cover, and I'll be damned if I'm paying for that.
I would go and do a trashy strip joint for 20 or 30 minutes if it was free.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying for that pleasure.
It was in a place that looked like it might have been like an electronics store in a former life.
Yeah.
And it just had a huge sign that said Cafe Erotica, free showers for truckers.
The best part about it, though, and I don't know if I'm spacing out and you just mentioned this and I missed it, was the motel that was right next
door. I didn't mention that yet. In the same parking lot.
If I had a wide-angle lens, I could have gotten a photo, because seriously, it was like 50 feet away.
Yeah.
It was just a parking lot apart. And the only thing missing was an hourly rate sign.
But you know they probably
And maybe they had one and we missed it.
Yeah. So that was maybe a little underwhelming because we didn't go in, but, you know, we weren't going to pay for it just to tell you about it. So anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If you want to donate money for us to go around to trashy strip joints and review them, though.
We'll be happy to do
We'll be happy to.
And we'll give you detailed reviews.
Yes.
Detailed. We aim to please.
Yeah.
And then finally, on our way back, we got off of the exit for Lovejoy, which is, I guess, sort of a third-ring suburb south of Atlanta near Jonesboro. And the only thing that makes it even stick out is the fact that it's going to be the terminus of that proposed Lovejoy rail line, if assuming that thing ever actually gets built.
I'll be goddamned if I can figure out why, though.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I was curious to see what Lovejoy looked like, because that's the only reason I'd ever heard about it, and I always wondered, hearing about it, why Lovejoy? Now, I know the point of the rail line isn't so people from Atlanta can go to Lovejoy. It's so people from as far south as Lovejoy can commute into Atlanta for their day jobs. But still, why Lovejoy as the terminus? Why not Jonesboro, Stockbridge, McDonough? I mean, there's plenty of little suburb towns down there. We couldn't really even find anything to Lovejoy. I mean, it had a city limits sign, but, I mean, I'll be damned if it didn't just look a whole lot like Martinez, which is where I'm from, which is just an unincorporated area in Columbia County with no center. I mean, it's the exurbs, basically. So, I mean, we saw a rail line, which I'm not sure if they're going to use existing rail or what, but, you know, if anybody has any information and can tell us about, you know, why Lovejoy was chosen as the end of the line.
I'd like to know.
We'd be interested to know.
Because I couldn't figure it out on my own.
It seems random.
I guess I'm not that sharp.
I mean, it just seems random is all.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty much it. And now we're back home. When we got home last night, I basically went right to bed.
And I went to Kroger to purchase a melon to replace the one I dropped.
Yeah, the fallen melon.
Yeah.
And then today we had our 4th of July feast here.
Yeah, I bought a new charcoal grill, which I hope to use at the next podcast party, weather permitting, and cook some massive kosher dogs. We answer to a higher power, is that, were they?
That's what was on the container of the kosher dogs.
They were excellent, I will say. Those Hebrews they make a mean beef dog. And then you had veggie burgers.
I did.
They were good.
All right, so... I did. Yeah. So we're going to sign off now. We're going to go and have a little mini movie marathon here. We're going to be watching Back to the Future and the Mothman Prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a good night. So that's all for now.
Toodles.
See ya.
You can visit the America's Garden Inn online at americasgardeninn.com. The Georgia Rural Telephone Museum has a website of sorts at SOWEGA.net/museum. As an addendum, after recording our Day 2 recap, we discovered that Cafe Erotica actually has a website of its own at WeBearItAll.com. And I'd like to just read a little sample for you here from that website. Hi, I'm Vicky, and I am so happy you have come to join me and my sexy friends inside We Bear It All. That's exactly what we do, Bear All. Inside the members' room, you will have access to more than 30,000 crystal-clear photos of me and all my hot friends getting down and dirty. No matter what you're looking for, you are sure to find exactly what you want. From our hot little teens to horny amateur housewives out for a romp, you will never run out of sexy pictures to satisfy your every desire. Come on in and say hello. Take advantage of our 3-day trial.
Your heart's to
Rusty.
Saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims drive Christians away.
Rusty.
This comes.